feel, how does it change? What happens is you have a testimony. You now have a firsthand account. You are now a witness. You are on the stand. You have a responsibility to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And at this point, how could you not? Having a testimony to tell can either get you out of a lot of trouble or into a lot of trouble. And in this case, when it happens, there's no pleading the fifth. When this case comes to the stand, you will be called to question. The question is, what do you have to say for yourself? What's your excuse? What's your account? What is your testimony? In a courtroom, this plays out a lot differently. The rules are still the same. The hours and hours over the last few weeks look quite different, but this trial is more important even than an impeachment. Paul here is speaking out in defense of the gospel that he preaches. Paul explains the dramatic change that has happened in his life and why it came about. It wasn't just a whim. It didn't just happen by chance. This was personal. This was the gospel at work in his own life, and he had to tell about it. It was brought about by a personal encounter with the risen Jesus. It's where we ended last week and where we start this week. In the book of Galatians, if you have your Bible, I hope you're turning there with me. Galatians, the first chapter. And from the first two verses, Paul starts out in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. He says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preach is not of human origin. Nor did I receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. The thing that Paul wants you to know as he starts out, he wants us to realize in his personal account of the life change that happened that he went to, that Jesus has to be the change. Jesus has to be the one to bring about the change. It's a story that is all changed on one point. That is Jesus. And this is huge. This is different than how the world talks. A story about me is usually going to be, it's going to start with me. I'm going to tell you about the things that affected me and about the things that were affected by me. But Paul instead talks about Jesus. His story is all about Jesus. Paul says, if I'm going to tell my story, I need you to know that it all hinges on Jesus. And this is going to mean three things. Two that apply to us and one that frees us as we reach to others. Are you ready for them? First thing is, if it is only Jesus who can be the source of change, that means that it can't be someone else. Seems obvious, right? If only Jesus can bring about the change, that means it can't be someone else. We may know this, but sometimes we don't always act like this. We can sing songs that say nothing but the blood of Jesus, and in our minds, we act like it's nothing but the blood of Jesus and maybe my favorite author. Nothing but the blood of Jesus and, you know, this person who had a really, really influential part of my life. Say nothing but the blood of Jesus. And, you know, there was the person that baptized me. Now, don't take this somewhere I'm not trying to bring us. We need those around us to help us grow. We need those around us to encourage us in our walk, to help guide us along in our study, to keep us accountable in the way that we live. But they are not the ones who save you. When Jesus returns, your answer cannot be, well, my parents were really strong in their faith. Well, Jesus, you know, I went to Martel Christian Church. You know, Jesus, I had this friend that I met up for coffee about once or twice a week, and we had some really good discussions. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, there's only one that really counts for who you know, and more importantly, by whom you are known. Jesus talks all sorts of ways about the fact that there are people who are telling both right and wrong things, and Jesus says that all sorts of people will come to me saying that they know me, but what is going to count is if when Jesus comes, if he can say, I know you. It's only through Jesus. And you know what? This isn't something that's new. This isn't something that's come about with the printing press, with authors, with people in the bestsellers list. This came about even in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. There were all these people that were caught up in the middle by who baptized them, and they were divided to the point where they couldn't unite around Jesus. They were saying, well, this person baptized me. Well, this person taught me. Well, this person led me in my walk. But Paul says, guys, you're missing it. This is all about Jesus. Jesus is the only source of our salvation. The second thing that we learn when we recognize that change only comes from Christ is that it can't be on our own merit. How many times do we think that Jesus brings the change so I have to prove it by my actions? Last week, I don't know if you watched the State of the Union address. I was listening to some reaction as Vice President Mike Pence was reflecting on a conversation he had with Rush Limbaugh. If you don't know, Rush received one of the highest honors that a president can bestow on a citizen. And Vice President Pence said that Rush told him, I will commit the rest of my life to trying to deserve this. Pence said he had to look back at him and tell him, you already have. And as I thought about it, that's right where a lot of us, I think, are in our walk with Christ sometimes. We receive this gift from Christ. We receive the glory of a relationship with an almighty God. And we put this burden on our shoulder that says, I'm going to live the rest of my life to try to deserve this gift that I've been given. When Christ looks at us and says, you already have it. I've already done my work. Christ already died on the cross. He already raised from the dead. And many of us are trying to live like we can deserve the gift that's been given. The whole point when Jesus came down is that he had to do it. He had to do it because we can't. our life should change. But if we're honoring the gospel message, we have to know that Christ is the only condition, and our change is not a criteria, it's a result of the relationship that we have with him. And so if you're out there right now and you are trying to earn your way into heaven, if you are trying to earn the result that God has already made in your life, guys, you have it. Christ is going to continue to grow you out of the relationship that you have with him. We have to recognize that if change only comes through Christ, it can't be on our own merit. The last part that we learn from these first two verses is that in reaching out, you're a conduit. Because it starts, it ends, and it depends on Jesus. And I want to tell you that that's not an out, but that's a release. We all have someone we wish knew Jesus. I hope that you have someone in your life that you wish knew Jesus. I hope you have someone who you are praying about. I hope you have someone that you're doing something about it. I hope you that there's someone that you are working on today that you wish knew Jesus. And there can be days when the lack of results in the lives of those that we try to invest in weigh on us heavily. And in those days, when we recognize that it's all about Jesus, that he is the only one that can bring change, in those days we can trust that it's only Jesus that can complete the work that he is doing. And here's the thing. When we're handing the ball off to Jesus, we can be confident that he's going to get the job done. We might not see it. We might not be a part of it, of the finality of it. We may be long gone. They may be out of our lives by the time this happens. But Paul even had this story. He even had this happen in his own life. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians, once again, this time in chapter 3, Paul says, I planted. He says, my friend Apollos, he watered. And God was the one who made it all grow. See, we got work to do, but when Jesus is the center of change, we are not doing it alone. In the spirit of never being alone, Paul walks us right into what that gospel message, what that good news that he's been sharing up to this point, what happens when that became personal to him. He tells this story. He said, for you have heard of my previous ways. You've heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, and was extremely zealous for the tradition of my fathers. But when God, underline that if you have it in your Bible, but when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, who was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I may preach him among the Gentiles. Paul continues, but here's where most testimonies stop. I think we can stop here and we can see what's going on here, and we can treasure this for a second. But remember, this isn't where he ends. We look at the form of Paul's testimony. You know, some people think that they can't share God with others. Maybe because they don't think that they know enough. Maybe because they're worried about questions that will come. Maybe they don't have the answer to what's going to happen. Maybe it's because of a life before. A life before Christ. A life before change. But where Paul goes here is that he has a story. And you may or may not know a lot about the Bible, about the gospel, about theological arguments. I don't know. But I do know that you know your story. And you probably know it better than anyone. We each have a story. We each have a way that Christ has changed us, that God has transformed us. We may not be able to explain it by the theological significance behind our story, but we know, each of us, that God has changed us. But more than anyone else, we each know who we are without God in our lives. We each know what our lives are like in the times when we choose not to accept God's rule in our hearts. We know who we are when no one else is looking. We know who we are when things get real and we have a choice to make. And we know when we've been transformed by God's word in our lives that continues to help us to make the choices that are different. If we can tell people one thing, we can tell them that our lives are changed. We can tell them that we've been transformed. Paul says that my life before Christ was marked by trying to accomplish my righteousness on my own. He can say that my life before Christ was marked by hostility against the things that God was doing in other people. He can say my life was marked by taking pride in my difference apart from those that I look down on. He can say my life was marked by violence, by destruction. And all of this is followed by a beautiful phrase. But when God, paraphrasing the next sentence, when I met Jesus, this amazing moment happened. This is a moment that we pray for. This is a moment that we celebrate. This is a moment that we hope for. It's a time that actually my family is getting to experience today as we're getting to celebrate three of my little cousins deciding to get baptized. To make Jesus the Lord and Savior of their lives. It's an immense moment in someone's life. I hope that we can stand and cheer for moments like this. But this isn't where it ends. This isn't where it ends for Paul in telling his story. Like I said, this is where most testimonies would stop. You know, I was a bad person. I was a hard character. I did some bad things. But you know what? Jesus became Lord and Savior in my life. Paul doesn't stop there. Paul says, hey, you know what? This happened. Jesus came into my life. Let me tell you how it's been going. He says, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I didn't go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went to Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. After 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas, and I stayed there with him for 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the brother of our Lord. I assure you before God that what I am writing is no law. Then I went to Syria and Sicilia, and I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. Paul starts talking about the life that he's lived since that Jesus moment. And for each of us, I want you to know that your journey is not over. Your testimony is not over. You have a story, and you have a life that's been marked by change. And I hope that as we tell our stories, we not only tell the stories of who we are before, but we also tell the stories of who God is continuing to make us. Because if you are anything like me, you have room to grow. I have a lot. a story that I can tell of Jesus who has taken me from who I used to be and has continued to work in my life and has continued to change me. I hope you have that story as well. I hope you have a story that continues, a story that grows, a story that changes with time of how God is at work in your hearts up to this very day. Jesus' work is done, and our story is not yet over until we take our final breath, until we meet him face to face. We still have lives to live. We still have times to go. As Paul continues to speak, he says this. It ends with this amazing moment. This amazing moment in verse 24. Verse 23 and 24. It says, they only heard this report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. Paul says they all praise God because of me. For us, we all have this is now story. For Paul, it was the man who formerly persecuted is now preaching. I don't know what your is now story looks like, but I know that you have. How powerful is it to be able to tell that story, the story of what Christ has done, not only in this world, but the story that Christ has done, the gospel that has transformed your life. I want to encourage you this morning to tell that story, the story marked by change, the story that is growing in Christ, the story that is now different because of the work that he's doing. Story that's bringing praise to God. One thing that we notice when we see the gospel throughout the book of Galatians is that as the gospel is transforming people, our God is being praised. And so this morning we are going to continue in our worship by praising God once again, and we can praise him out of the change that happened in our own hearts, the glory of the gospel at work in us. I hope that you'll stand this morning, that you'll pray with me, and that we'll continue to praise God together. Dear Lord, we just thank you. God, your gospel transformed life and is transforming life even today. The good news is that you reign, God, that you reign above all others, you reign above all else, that you are in control, that you have power. And God, we pray that our stories will reflect your glory and your gospel to those around us. God, make us courageous to share our story. Make us hopeful in the way that we give ourselves to others. God, make us yours today. God, I pray that if there's someone here who hasn't accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, if they need to make that gospel story their own today, I pray that they will find someone to talk to. That they'll find an elder to talk to around, that they'll come after service, that they'll talk to someone they love and care about that knows you. And that theirs can be another story, another testimony of the gospel at work. Another story that can say they are now yours. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.